There we go. There we go. Thank you so much. All right. So if for some reason you get uncomfortable and you have to leave, I am recording audio here and video, and I'll post those for people. I really have a passion for work-based learning and helping people. This is going to be a little bit different deck for me. This is the first time I've delivered this deck publicly. And it's actually a little bit more demonstration than I normally do. We're just kind of talking and showing you what I've done. A lot of this is anecdotal. I'm about to deploy this with my third level students because we have an event called Reverse Career Fair, which I'm presenting on tomorrow. But I'm trying to find a way. I don't have time to do like one-on-one mock interview trainings with all of our students. My program is pretty big. We've got 300 students, 440 sections of work-based learning. So it's a lot of students. Now third level is a little bit smaller, but the reason I did this was because another one of my passions is partnership, recruiting and developing partnerships. And we only have so many bullets in that gun, right? I did not want to ask my employers to come do mock interviews with my students. I would rather save that bullet for a bigger event, okay? I want the juice to be worth the squeeze. So the reason I got into this was because we're all going to practice toward the end, is I created a mock interview AI bot. So my students can scan a QR code, they can go in there, and I've given the AI instructions. So my kids at any point in time on their phone, wherever they are, can go practice, and I'm wanting them to practice with interviews before we do their big advocacy event in the Reverse Career Fair. So that's kind of what got me started doing the AI. So this is not going to be this massive deconstruction of like the ethical complication. This is not this session, okay? I'm going to walk you through just a few things, and I'm going to demo a couple of things, okay? So real quick, we'll move past that. If you are interested, a lot of people say, will your slide deck be available? Yes, I'll put it in the app. Some people have problems with that. If you scan this, or if you want to just connect with me through the app, this will put all my information in your phone. I'm not a big enough deal to have a school cell phone, so this is my personal cell phone. I'm on the East Coast, so just make sure you know that. But I really love our community. I love doing this and getting a chance to help coordinators build in unique and creative ways to serve their students, because there's only so much of us to go around. The idea behind this was to duplicate myself so I can be multiple places at different times and my students, their instruction doesn't suffer. So, all right, I don't see any phones. It's at the end too, so if you didn't get it, we can get it in the end. So real quick, just gonna go over a couple of things. I'm gonna walk around, so if this bothers y'all, I'm sorry, I don't like to stand still. A couple of things I wanna talk about, why we should embrace AI, okay? And there's another slide talking about some complications, so I wanna be honest. I don't have stock in any AI, so I'm not trying to sell you on this, but it's something we have to be prepared for. One is it's hard to put toothpaste back in the tube, right? AI's out. Now, it's been used commercially, industrially. People, when you drive in the Target parking lot, they've got cameras that scan your license plates. They know when you shop, what you're buying, and they're target marketing you based on all of these things. But it's just recently become available to the public, and at least widespread. And so once this technology's out, we're going to have to learn how to embrace it, have to learn how to harness it, okay, because there are some downsides to that, but AI is here to stay. And this is my big thing. It's the same thing with math. I'm not a math teacher, but I've always said, if calculators are widely used in industry, why can't they use calculators on their math tests? It doesn't make sense to me. Like, why are we restricting them with technology that exists when that same technology is available, not only like somewhat, but ubiquitously available in industry? AI is going to be a ubiquitous technology in workforce. So if we're truly wanting to prepare students for the workforce, we have to at least cover this. Let them use it a little bit, or we're not truly preparing them for the workforce. Okay? Another one is enhancement, not replacement. This is designed, what I'm going to talk about today is just ways to enhance you, ways to duplicate you so you can be in multiple places at one time. That way you can take more students, you can serve more students if you can multiply yourself. So I want to encourage, this encourages critical thinking. I don't want us to use AI in a way that's going to, automation equals atrophy. You don't use it, you lose it kind of thing. And I think that's a very valid point. But I want us to learn how to use this to encourage critical thinking. Because if we do automate to the point of atrophy, not only do students lose the ability to do that skill, but they also lose the ability to critically evaluate their work in the peripheral, if that makes sense. So not only losing the ability to do the work, but then losing the ability to critically evaluate the work that they can do. So we want to make sure we encourage a critical thinking in that. But also, this is a way to push educational assessment toward the defense of work. I've heard a lot of people say, well, how are English teachers, how are they going to evaluate papers? Well, we kind of quit being lazy educators. We move past the creation of work and we move more toward the defense of work. That's that quadrant D thinking. AI is not going to change what we do. It's going to change how we assess what we do. They can create work a lot easier, but if you get this paper from that kid, and we all know that kid who's going to turn in this PhD level paper with this Lexile score of like, you know, way beyond master's level, and this kid is in your room picking his nose all day long. Like, you know, this kid didn't write that paper. Just because he created that paper, then you say, okay, tell me what you wrote about. Defend this point. So our assessment's going to move past creation to defense. And I think that's a good thing for all of us to do, whether we're academic or we are in CTE, work-based learning. And this really becomes your second brain. Because I don't know about you guys, this is my spring break in Georgia. I need a third brain because I'm exhausted. We're at the point of the semester where I'm tired. If we can learn how to leverage AI as our teacher's second or a teacher's second brain, then it becomes something that, again, makes your job a lot easier. Next, bridging educational gaps. This is going to be something you can personalize and tailor specifically to students. I'm going to show you software, schoolai.com. It's really unique. I have links. I'll also demo it today, where you can build in a personal assistant for each student. You can build in any type of mock interview bot. You can go in and have them have a conversation with Bill Gates on cybersecurity. You can write in those prompts, and AI is going to build that platform for you. So pretty unique, but what it is going to do is going to allow us to personalize and tailor. So, and that's really unique for me in work-based learning, because what work-based learning really is, we are the capstone to all the instructional programs in our schools. I am not a welder. I am not an auto mechanic. I am not an engineer. I am not a nurse. I have no experience in any of those fields. But my job is to place those students from those instructional areas, align them with industry placements, get them internships, apprenticeships. If that's what I'm doing, and I'm having to facilitate their growth in an instructional area where I am not a content expert, AI can become your best friend. Because you can go in and have different prompts for these students. I don't know the type of questions that are going to be asked on an engineering interview. I'm not an engineer. But I can have AI go out and I can prompt them, say, you are a mock interviewer, engineering CT students, 10th through 12th grade, giving them opportunities to defend their passion for architecture. You need to create questions for this age level appropriate to. Feel free to ask follow-up questions, ask the students to defend XYZ, run the script. I have an AI bot that I can disseminate just to my architecture students. So really unique. And it's also going to support differentiated learning as well. And then that second brain, it's going to save us time. It's really going to get to a point where we can save us time. And if you haven't played around with AI, I mean, when I say save you time, like you can go and say, hey, I need a lesson or I need you to create a lesson plan on XYZ. It'll populate that for you. You can download that, go in, change it, finesse it, nuance it, however you want it nuanced. Really unique. It's going to reduce the administrative burden. So you're probably going to hear me say this a couple of times. AI, all AI was meant to do was to reduce friction. Think about what you do every day in the classroom, and sometimes we have friction. We have to push past that. You have more things to do than time of the day. AI is going to reduce that friction. You've got more students than you can mock interview yourself. AI is going to reduce that friction. So just think of it in that way, like you're trying to reduce the friction of what it is you do on a daily basis. In terms of material creation, whether it's simple or complex creation, brainstorming ideas, all this type of stuff, you're still the expert. But sometimes you're so exhausted that you don't have the capacity, the mental faculties, to have that mental aerobics to be creative. You can go to ChatGPT, which is designed to be more creative than accurate, and you can have it create certain things for you. Or if you're doing research, you can go to Perplexity, which is designed to be more accurate than creative. So there's a lot of different things. That's what this session is about. So here's some cautions. Okay, like I said, I don't have a stake in any company for AI, but some of the cautions are privacy and security, okay? And the, one of the softwares I'm gonna show you today, a website, schoolai.com, one of their targets is data protection for these students, okay? So that's really unique. It's designed specifically for educators, okay? Assessment integrity, all right? So again, moving past, the reducing that friction, if students are creating content, we have to move past that and learn to assess them in a way that's gonna get them to allow them to defend their work versus just turn in something that's created. Because if you're just allowing them to turn something that's created, you're right, AI is gonna screw up your program, 100%. Because you're not pushing past the initial barrier of AI can create programs for them. Tell me, why did you say this? Can you defend this? And that's preparing them for the workforce. Automation, I mentioned, versus atrophy. This really is gonna hinder, if we don't protect this, it's gonna hinder students' ability to think creatively. It's gonna hinder their ability to evaluate their work. So again, creating work, it'll be hindered. Defending the work that they have created or can create, it'll be hindered. So we have to keep these in mind. Man, if it's not already, I heard a statistic the other day that when I was going through my instructional program in college to become a teacher, those pedagogy classes, they were saying if you're teaching in high school, you take their age minus 3 to 5, and that's their attention span, right? Okay, and so they're talking about building in brain breaks. So we all are familiar with that. Now I'll just I think it was a presentation, but he was saying now research shows that the attention span of a high school student is 5 to 7 minutes. So if you're teaching for 30 minutes without a brain break, your kids are not paying attention. They're done, they're lost, right? So we already don't have much leeway with the attention spans. So AI is gonna allow us to do some cool things, but if we abuse it or we don't regulate that in the classroom, meaning you control it, you don't just turn your kids loose on it, what's gonna happen is their attention spans are gonna get shorter and shorter. That atrophy is gonna take over. Okay, and the biggest concern for me is that AI is not generated with on an epistemology of pedagogy, meaning that's not what it's designed to do. It's not designed to teach. It's designed to create. AI is designed to create. So we have to understand that AI does not have the base of pedagogy. You are all pedagogy experts. You control the AI. You do the pedagogy. You let it create content based on your expertise. But if we just turn kids loose, we can't trust that AI is going to have a teaching efficacy built into it. That's not what it was designed to do. And that's that last point is what they call AI hallucinations. It used to be called misinformation, but that's become too political. You can't say that anymore. So it's now called hallucinations, AI hallucinations. When AI, you don't know how it's coded, you don't know where the sources are coming from, AI can be a potential problem there. So again, reduce friction tolerances within the epistemology. So that's just a real quick overview of what we're gonna talk a little bit about today. And I'm gonna show you just again a couple of different things. So before we get into this, I just added this a couple of minutes ago because I was in a presentation with Susan Liana, one of her peers, and I thought it was pretty relevant. Does anybody know what this is? Does anybody know what that is? Any CT directors, administrators in the room know what that is? Yeah, that is the Perkins 5 definition of work-based learning. So as we move into this, I want to kind of shed, because I'm going to show you how AI can be used K through 5, 6 through 9, and 10 through 12 and beyond. So because of that, I wanted to evaluate the definition. So sustained interactions with industry and community professionals in real workplace settings. Okay, so that shows us real workplace settings. You've got to be 16 or older to be in work-based learning, right? Yes, let's keep going. To the extent practical or simulated environments at an educational institution. So now Perkins 5 is saying that what qualifies for work-based learning is not only real workplace on the job site, but also these simulated environments, whether it's through AI or through AR or through VR in our classrooms, with the intent of fostering in-depth first-hand engagement. So if you've read Perkins 5 definition and you said, you just saw the first part, real workplace settings, and you're like, oh my gosh, K through 5 is not real work-based learning. That's false. I don't think anybody who is in our area would dismiss K through 5 in the area of work-based learning. Now, is it? They're not going and driving like machines and tractors. I mean, obviously we understand that, right? So I wanted to walk you through this because here's how I have broken this down for us. This is my personal model. You don't have to embrace this, but I want you to understand my vernacular moving forward. There are three E's. K through five is what I call exposure or awareness. We're just showing these students, introducing them to careers, just exposing. They're not going to go work. They're probably not going to do a lot of industry tours. They're probably not going to go out and do a lot of field trips, maybe a one or two. But K through five is all about exposure. Six through nine is about exploration. So you've exposed them in K through five. Work-based learning six through nine is now about exploring the things you've exposed them to, particularly the areas in your community. Why am I passionate about this? Okay, a little tangential argument here. How do you recruit business partners to your program? You talk to them the way industry talks, money, return on investment. Here's my best pitch. Not related to this, but it's not gonna take long. Your industry partners, their taxes are going into and being filtered down to schools. So their tax dollars are being invested in the schools. Schools are designed to create talent. If your industry partners do not have an active strategy to employ your students, they're forfeiting return on that investment, and they're actually preparing talent for their competitors to hire to compete with them in the private sector. That's what people do when they ignore our segments. When they ignore students in the work-based learning programs, they're ignoring a critical, untapped segment of the labor market, right? So when we go into this next one, they're exploring how to go into these labor markets and work, but 10 through 12 is the actual experience, going out and doing the actual work. Putting the ag mechanic or the metal fabrication student in a fabrication facility or an automotive facility and doing body work. Putting the ag student in an industrial research area where they're analyzing soil samples. That's the actual experience. So those are my three E's, but we have to ask ourselves the question, how can AI facilitate this goal, these goals at each level? So how can AI facilitate exposure K through five, exploration 6 through 9, and experience 10 through 12? So just real couple, again, this is just me. This is just anecdotal, okay? I think it's accurate, but it's just anecdotal. Exposure, customized curriculum. That's what you're doing at the K through five level, is you're customizing curriculum to expose them to things that they would not normally be exposed to. Guest speakers, sorry. Got a little trigger happy. Guest speakers, bringing people in to make them aware of the things, not just everywhere, but specifically in your community, because they are your shareholders. They're the ones who are investing in your system, not necessarily by choice, but through their taxes. So if you are producing students, if you have programs that are producing talent that your local industry can't consume in the labor markets, that's a conversation you need to have, because you're preparing students to leave your community. That's really what you're doing. You're preparing them to leave because you can't employ them locally. That's a conversation to have. But also, employer interactions. That's the whole scope for me, my mindset, K through five. 6 through 9, the exploration, field trips, site visits, maybe some job shadowing in the upper middle school, maybe lower high school levels. Notice I included 9 in there. So this would be more of a a middle school, junior high school model, if you were to go 6, 7, 8, 9, and then 10 through 12. I'm not advocating that, but it's just how I broke this down. Field trips, site visits, job shadowing, industry tours, and career fairs. And then what the majority of people think about when they think of work-based learning is experience, work placement in terms of paid, okay? Work placement when they're paid, job shadowing. A big passion of mine is advocacy events. We do a great job, and I'll talk a lot about this tomorrow. That's why I created the entire reverse career fair. But we do a great job of teaching students to be good at what class they're in. So welding students can weld. Healthcare students can take the blood pressure. They can triage. They can give shots. We do a great job of teaching them the content. What we don't do a great job of is teaching them how to advocate those skills. The kids get out of your programs and they crap the bed in the interview, right? Because no one's taught them how to advocate for themselves, how to sell their skills. So that's what I mean when I say advocacy events. AI is phenomenal at this. AI is phenomenal at this. And then you've got these job fairs. Everybody know the difference between a career fair and a job fair? I use those terms very, very on purpose. A career fair is more of a exposure exploration event. A job fair is they are coming to hire. So know the difference. Know the difference. If they're just coming to meet industry, to do mock interviews, that's not a job fair. Job fairs exist for employers to hire students on the spot. Okay? Career fairs are, again, more of an exploration area. So here, I'm just going to show you same slides, but the softwares we're going to talk about. In the K-5 area, customized curriculum, a software that I'm going to show you is called CuriePod.com. It's awesome. Almost like I've never wanted to be an elementary teacher, but this came close to making me want to go teach elementary because it's just really cool. Another one, guest speakers. I'm not a huge fan of animaker.com because it's not there yet, but it's going to suffice in an elementary classroom. You can go and you can script it. Animaker is going to make videos for you. So you put in the prompts. So you could go to ChatGPT and say, pretend you are teaching a fourth grade class about the value of architecture as a potential career. Let ChatGPT generate the script, put the script in animaker.com, and it produces the video that you could go out. So you can use all these things together. And then employer interaction, same thing with Animaker. You could use that. It's not super, super polished, but it'll make a video for you, okay? A little cartoon animated video. It's pretty cool. 6 through 9. Now, don't be disappointed, okay? Right now, the majority of things that I have assigned through the exploration part of work-based learning in the 6 through 9, there's not a lot of AI right now that I think is going to do a good job of simulating that. A lot of VR and AR, so virtual reality, augmented reality. That exists here, and then you compare that with AI. So shortly, field trip site visits. That's more of an AR, more of a virtual, a VR solution. Downside is that's paid. Everything else I'm showing you is free, okay? Downside is those are paid. Same thing with hands-on practice. There's some really cool, if you go into our vendor sessions, there's some really cool people and vendors here who have, you know, Oculus things where you can go in and simulate these AR, VR, hands-on practices, work sites. There's a really cool software out of the UK. It's called Virtual Speech, and you can actually put on the Oculus, and you can put yourself in an auditorium with 1,000 people, and you can give a speech or give a presentation or do a job interview, and it'll go in, and it'll evaluate that, give you that, but super, super pricey, okay? Career fairs. You could do this through School AI or Animaker. So imagine you get 10 Chromebooks from your IT department, and you go and you build a reverse career fair for elementary or middle school students through the Animaker simulated videos. So they can actually go, you go to ChatGPT, you have them create a little brief introduction to the area, to the vocation, you put it in Animaker, create the video, and you put each video on a different computer around the room, let your kids go in and interact with those videos. Really cool application for using AI in the middle school, maybe even elementary school level. Industry tours, again, AR, VR solutions, but they're paid. Job shadowing. I know there's another company here is doing it, and I forgot their name. I meant to go look before. But Pathful, I know they have some virtual job shadow software, so you can actually have students doing that, you know, in your classroom. They can go out and do this virtual job shadowing. Again, I don't know Pathful very well, but it's a paid software. And then lastly, research. This is where we're going to get into Perplexity versus ChatGPT and Gemini, okay? So first we'll go through 10 through 12. There really isn't anything you can do to simulate a paid work environment. That is what it is. A paid work environment, it is what it is. You may come across a company that wants to hire your students to work remotely, and that's between you and your school administration. I've done a few of those. They have not turned out the way I wanted them to turn out. So I don't do that a lot. But particularly in the area of these advocacy events, AI is going to really, really help you. Job fairs, again, School AI or a software called Interview Warmup, formerly of Google. I'll show you that. I won't demo that, but I'll show it to you. Mock interviews, I'll show you a bot. We're actually going to have you do a question or two of a mock interview so I can show you the back end. Super important that we do that so I can show you the back end of it. School AI Interview Warmup, again, for the mock interviews. Resume prep, there's a lot of things. U-Science has a really cool one. I love U-Science, like that's the engine that makes my program run. Please go visit them, they are phenomenal, great partners. But if you're looking at just having something to help students make resumes, Like, let's move past the word templates, okay? Because how many times have you gotten the word template? They actually turn the resume into you, and it still says your name here, your experience here, right? Like, is a website you can go. It'll prompt students. It'll help them make their resume, which is really unique. Now, a lot of my employers don't want resumes anymore. Some of yours probably still do. The cool thing about this is it allows students to differentiate themselves from the job pool because it's customized. Okay, same thing with U-Science's Resume Builder built into their BrightPath is it uses the data from the assessment to ask them and prompt them to go back and build their resume. So again, super cool stuff there. I didn't put U-Science on here because it's not AI-driven, but it's still super cool. And then lastly, just for the rest of the variety of applications for you, ChatGPT, Perplexity, all the things in red I'm going to show you. And then I'm not going to show you Gemini because it's almost virtually identical. It's the same AI that runs ChatGPT. So I'm not going to show you those. But that's kind of where we're going in just a second. So real quick qualifier, ChatGPT and Gemini versus Perplexity. The main players that people are using in schools are ChatGPT, Gemini, and Perplexity. So just real quick, the design for ChatGPT and Gemini, it's designed to be creative. Here's an example. Hey, ChatGPT, give me some ideas for a thumbnail on a YouTube video about work-based learning and AI. It'll give you a bunch of ideas, maybe even create some images for you, right? Here's the difference. Perplexity is accurate research-driven info. So here's a good use for Perplexity. How much wine can I drink after an Ambien? It's going to go pull medical resources, and then we can click on that, and you can go and exclude resources. So if you were to Google that, or not Google, but Perplexity that, and say, how much wine can I drink after having an Ambien, and you pull up the sources, and there's some Reddit on there. Get rid of the Reddit sources, and then it'll recalculate. So you're teaching students, even in Perplexity, how to vet accurate information. Even though Perplexity is designed for accurate information, research-based information, they still need to know how to evaluate sources. And again, that's the critical thinking part of that, okay? So just think ChatGPT Gemini, higher brain power, higher processing, more about creative, more about solutions, customized things, Perplexity, more about research-based accurate information. I use that example as kind of to be funny, break it up, but a really good example of Perplexity would be, hey, Perplexity, like their Siri or something, but you type in, Perplexity, give me the 10-year outlook for vocations and architecture moving forward. Perplexity is going to give you a lot more of a robust and accurate yield than ChatGPT because ChatGPT is coded to be more creative. Okay? So that's just the difference here. Again, examples. Here's some things you can use ChatGPT for. And when you get the slide deck, if you scan that QR code, once you get the slide deck, it's going to take you to a ChatGPT feedback. When I ask ChatGPT, what are some things you'd be good for in work-based learning, okay? So one, comparing job postings. So a student can compare a job posting to their resume. Upload the job posting, upload the resume, and say, hey, ChatGPT, where are my holes? Where are my gaps? Analyze resume for gaps with a desired job. Analyze resumes for potential interview questions. Hey, ChatGPT, here's my resume. I'm interviewing for this job. What concerns would an employer have based on my resume? What potential questions could I get from an employer based on my resume? Things that I'm not that smart. ChatGPT is. Here's a really cool one, one of my favorite ones. I'm a big LinkedIn person. I would love to connect with all of you on LinkedIn. You go to LinkedIn, you click the little more button, and you can download someone's profile as a PDF. Upload that PDF. Maybe it's someone you're wanting to connect with. Upload that PDF to ChatGPT and say, hey, what kind of post could I make that's going to get this person's attention? Or, hey, what do we have in common? Or maybe that person's applied to come work for you. You can say, hey, based on this person's, I have my work-based learning students all create LinkedIn, another presentation for another time. But I can download my student's profile on LinkedIn, and I could go in and I could say, based on what they're saying they are, where are the gaps, what industries would you be able to put them in, what strengths do they have, what weaknesses do they have, and it's going to analyze, that's the creative brain power of ChatGPT. Okay. Also, analyzing LinkedIn profiles from an employer perspective. ChatGPT, look at my student's employer LinkedIn profile. Tell me, what would an employer think of the student? What holes would they identify? Where can they get stronger? Where can they build this out? And then that becomes, their feedback then becomes not a remediation, but more of a differentiated practice, I can go to this student and say, hey, look, your ChatGPT said you really need to work better here on your LinkedIn profile. So maybe you're doing it, you're just not posting enough of it. Because that's my student's portfolio. I use LinkedIn as a portfolio because it's free and it's where employers already are. So why use another platform? Employers are already on LinkedIn. That's the best platform for me. So examples for ChatGPT, examples for Perplexity, career research and exploration, and industry trend analysis. Looking, a kid wants to come to you and they want to be a graphic designer. Now I'm going to say something mean, but no, I'm a graphic designer. That's my background. Graphic design is one of the fastest dying industries and vocations in the country. Why? Because you can go into Photoshop. Look, it took me a long time to get good at Photoshop and Illustrator. And it really kind of makes me mad that any of you now can just go get Photoshop and say, give me an image of this, and Photoshop builds it for you. And I'm like, what the crap? Like, that's what I do. That's what I'm good at. So graphic design is dying. It is dying, okay? It's going to be done. That is one thing that people will say, and research is showing one of the fastest declining. It's not on anyone's high-demand, high-career jobs. So a student who wants to be a graphic designer, you can have them go into Perplexity and ask for a trend analysis on jobs coming in over the next 10 years, and they're going to see it's going to be negative, and they're going to say, maybe I should think of something different, right? Job openings in the industry, current versus projected, have them do some comparing and contrasting. Data interpretation, that's what Perplexity is great at, interpreting data, and then also some company research. The kid's going for an interview with a company, one of your partners. Tell them the company's name, have them do some research on that person, and put it in Perplexity and say, what do I need to know about this company to have an interview next week? Have it generate all these ideas. So really cool ways you can use Perplexity. But again, this is still super creative, but it's more driven toward data and analysis, okay? Now, I'm not gonna talk about these. This is just for when you get the slide deck, you can read through this. CuriePod is basically gonna come in here, and I'm gonna put here, it's gonna interactive student activities. The platform offers various activities such as polls, drawings, word clouds, and encourages active student involvement in critical thinking. Real-time AI feedback. CuriePod provides immediate rubric-aligned feedback. I'm not going to read this. You can all read. CuriePod's super cool. Okay? Super, super cool. Another one I'm going to demonstrate for you is School AI. Again, this is my favorite. Like, really, really cool. I have a friend of mine who introduced it to me. His name is Dr. North. He's our engineering teacher. So he created an AI assistant called Dr. South. So because he's hands-on, so he's got 30, 40 kids, but he's working with a student on a high-end engineering project, he may have to be with that student for 30, 40 minutes. So if his other students have questions, they go to Dr. South. Each one has their own link. I'll show you that when we get into School AI, but he can go in and see what kind of questions they're asking. So he may not be able to be with that student during the class, but he can go in after the class and see what kind of questions, say, oh my gosh, this kid missed this step in the engineering process. And then he can see based on that feedback and go back and meet with that kid later and say, hey look, I saw your, this is what you need to struggle with, this is what you're not understanding. So not only is School AI really, really cool, but it keeps track of the conversations, right? School AI prioritizes student safety by monitoring for signs of bullying, abuse, and neglect. It's part of how it's designed. The platform is also committed to privacy in terms of FERPA and COPPA, okay? So this is designed for educators. Now, I'd still recommend getting your IT people to look over it, but it's designed for schools. And now there's always a paid version of everything, right? But it's pretty robust. The free version, it is pretty robust, okay? Inside this, you can do two things. You can do what they call a sidekick or an assistant, okay? Or, so the functionality there, just be answer questions, to be available whenever the student needs it. Say, hey, look, can you help me with the second stage of the engineering process? I'm not really clear on that. And it's going to go in based on my engineering teacher's rubrics and based on his materials, and it's going to teach that student or reinforce that student based on what documents he uploaded, right? Assisting in solving mathematical problems, simplifying complex things, making them a little bit more understandable. Now, the other side is what I'm going to show you today is a space. So I didn't create an assistant, I created a space. And a space allows for teachers to create this world or this character. Like I said, you want to have your students go do an interview with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? School AI can do that. It's going to learn all about Dr. Martin Luther King. Come in, and it's going to simulate him, ask him questions about what was it like to do what you did? You know, what was the significance of this? And AI is responding as MLK, right? So really cool things, not even just beyond career tech, enable students to engage in the personalized learning at their own pace. So I can upload these, I'm leveraging these. My event is May 7th, so when I get back to school next week, my students are gonna be in this mock interview bot practicing where I can see what they're doing. So I may know, hey, little Billy's really gonna struggle when they start asking questions, and I can pull little Billy aside and say, hey, look, based on what you're doing, you're missing this part. Let's do some one-on-one, right? So demo time. All right, so here's what we're gonna do. The way I've set this up is so if you scan the QR code, it's gonna take you to Google Warmup, okay? So I'll leave this up for you. Again, there's not a whole lot to demo. This was built by tech companies, Google. So I think the first 6 or 7 responses are all like IT jobs, cybersecurity, networking, that kind of stuff. But the very bottom option at interview warmup is general. And so you can have your students go here, have them click the general option at the bottom, and it's going, you don't have to prompt them for questions. You don't have to go in and script anything or teach AI anything. It's gonna just give them general interview questions. Middle school would be great to come and do this. No work for you. Just go in, scan it, click general, and you're good to go. You can preview the questions ahead of time, or you can do them one at a time. I'm gonna encourage my students to do them one at a time, not to cheat, not to go through and preload their answers. You can also type it in, or you can press the microphone on your phone and talk into it. So again, the majority of this was built. So if you have a cybersecurity program, let your kids go on here and do mock interviews in the cybersecurity area. But if the program, the specific ones don't that are offered here aren't in your school, you can go in and just do the general ones, okay? I'm not gonna spend a ton of time there because that's pretty basic. Any questions before I move on? How am I doing on time? Oh, good, okay. I'm gonna go a little bit quicker, okay? The next one is CuriePod. Here we go. If you scan this, I'm gonna demo this, but if you scan it, it'll take you, but it really is CuriePod.com, C-U-R-I-P-O-D. You don't have to create an account. You can do the paid version, but the free version is pretty robust, okay? I wanna make sure I see no phones before I switch to go to CuriePod. I'm gonna break full screen, okay? See one or two more phones I don't want to leave before you get there. All right, so I'm going to go show you what CuriePod looks like, and I'm going to have one brave volunteer. We're going to create one real quick together. So once you have an account, this is what CuriePod looks like. You go up here to Get Lesson, okay? So who wants to be my Huckleberry? She's pointing at you, okay? Here we go. So I'm going to demo this. All right, so if you want to watch this real quick, I go to Get Lesson. It's really, really simple. All right, so again, it's built more towards elementary, middle. So it says I can build writing skills, I can clarify my slides, I can prepare for GMAS, I can establish daily routines. We're gonna click Create Lesson. So I'm gonna click Create Lesson, ELA Math, we're gonna, nope, other subjects, all right? So what am I teaching these kids? Give me a two-sentence idea. Okay, teach my, what grade level? Teach my sixth grade class the different opportunities available in engineering? Yeah. The different opportunities, I can't spell. It's always nerve-wracking typing in front of people. opportunities that exist in the engineering field. Okay, so real quick, sixth grade, you see it already picked that up. English, I click Get Lesson. Now this is still cool, now it's super cool. So that's all I did. That's all the data input that I gave it. It's gonna come in here and it's gonna give you basically a slide deck, okay? And not only will it give you a slide deck, but based on the age level you said, it's gonna build in appropriate brain breaks at the appropriate time. So that's something, again, that's not my strength. Okay, teaching sixth graders is not my strength. All right, so again, it takes probably 30 seconds to a minute for this to come open, but once it pops up, it's personalized for you. I'll show you, and it's really cool. Are y'all familiar with Kahoot? This is basically Kahoot, but it's AI driven. So once this happens, we'll do this real quick. We'll just play in it for a little bit, right? So here we come. I know it's exciting. The audio on this is gonna be riveting, by the way. Everybody's waiting for nothing to happen. All right, so here it is. exploring exciting engineering careers. We'll just go through this and then I'll demo it. We'll play the game. All right, objective. Students will be identify various career opportunities in the engineering field and understand roles and responsibilities of different engineering professions. And then it says, hey, did you know that engineers design roller coasters and space shuttles? That's a great way to introduce this to sixth grade students because everyone likes going to Six Flags and all these things, right? And so what I would do is when I input this, you'll be able to go in and it says, what does this make you think or wonder? And then you, when you scan this, can type it in. I'll give you 2 minutes. And then at the end, it's anonymized. So it'll give you purple parakeet may be your name. I can see your real name. But then it'll put everyone's response up here. And then you as a class get to vote on what's the coolest response. But it's not just the cool kid who's getting it because it's anonymized. So even the kid who has no friends may get celebrated here. Super cool there, right? So then you go in, says, hey, let's explore. What is engineering? Context. Draw an idea of an engineer at work. So on your phone or your Chromebook, you can go in, the kids can draw, it gives them all these little tools, colors, rulers, blah, blah, blah. They can draw it, give them 2 minutes, press gun. Everyone gets to vote on the coolest picture, right? Then they go in and says, here's some types of engineers. Civil, they build roads and bridges, mechanical, they do this and this. I'm not an engineer. So you saw the level of effort that I put into this was next to nothing. I literally typed in maybe 15 words, right? So then it goes in, again, this is an example of, where'd I go? Yeah, engineering life. It says, in a word or phrase, what do engineers create? So it's asking the students to summarize what we just talked about here in a word or phrase. Then it comes and says, hey, look, brain break. Draw a robot that can do your homework for you. Make it as silly as possible. So I can go around, I can talk with my kids, I can have those personal SEL compliant personal interactions with students in this 2 or 3 minute break, come back, goes up on the board, everyone votes on the coolest idea, then you move on. Hey, it's not just math and science. While these are important, engineering, creativity and teamwork make a big deal. Then you say, hey, look, what's it like to be on a team? So I am not an engineering person, but I could teach this lesson because we're all pedagogy experts. And again, you can go in and you can build this for 12th graders, 11th graders, a bunch of those things, right? So let's just do this right now. If you get out your phone, I'm going to start it real quick. We've got a little bit of time. If you scan this QR code, it's going to put this in, and we're just going to go through that. We're not going to do the whole lesson. Don't get mad at me. Okay, so here it goes. Kind pin, silly ocean, rolling robot. All right, everybody's in this. So I'm going to give about 30 more seconds. I don't want anybody to get cut off. Okay? So once we do this, 5, 4, 3, 2, I'm starting. All right, so here it is. We just started this event. All right, so now I'm going in. It should say, hey, look, it's happening on the screen. Look, the cool stuff's happening. You go in, I'm going through, here's an objective. Now, boom, I'm only going to give you guys 30 seconds to do this. Did you know that engineers design roller coasters and space shuttles? What does this make you think or wonder? Go. Kids are typing this in. Again, what level of effort did it take for me to create this? Nothing. Is this my expertise? No, I'm a high school teacher. I'm not an elementary person. But if I had to go in and do an elementary lesson for career awareness on architecture, 100% I could do this. Okay? 15, 14, 13. Just type something silly in. Doesn't really matter. All right, 56 answers. So it says, we will vote on the most interesting answers. So this is the part, so I can go to the written answers. Oh, start voting. Here it is. All right, ready, set, go. Oh, is it on your app? Oh, okay, I can't see it. Okay, I feel much better now. Okay. So you're voting on your app. We're going to end it in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. In voting. Oh, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 on their end, right? Now it's going to say, hey, look, here are the most interesting answers. What do you find as a job as a roller coaster designer? How many times can your roller coaster go upside down? Anyway, so here we go. As you go through this, when you're there, so I'm not going to go through the whole thing. Let's explore, blah, blah, blah. You get the idea. It took me zero time to do this, all AI generated and driven. I'm going to go back here. We'll go to our next one. Now, this one's super cool. I want to spend time here. So if you scan this, this is going to take you to the AI interview bot that I built for my students. Okay? It should automatically put the code in. You're going to have to put a name. If you want to put in your fake name, put in your fake name. Okay? Now, as soon as you open up, it should prompt you, hey, do you want to upload your resume, yes or no? Do you want a specific job interview or do you want a general job interview? So a student could say, here's my resume. Upload the text of your resume. Please interview me as though I were pursuing a job in cybersecurity. Then AI bot's going to analyze their resume, compare it to job description and or things in that industry. Okay, then it's going to start going forward. You could also say, I would recommend for this exercise, say, no, I don't want to upload my resume. Just give me a general interview. And then it's going to start asking you questions. You can type it in or you can press the speaker button on your phone. And you can start going through and doing text-to-speech. When you get done, oh, I have reached the participant limit. Okay, there's the free version, okay? Oh, I think, yeah, but I didn't, maybe I think it's like 75 or 80 people at a time can do it, right? So go ahead and just for demo purposes, just put in a couple of answers, okay? It's going to coach you based on the STAR and the BLUF method. BLUF is bottom line up front, okay? STAR is situation, task, action, and result, exactly. So I put that in the script for the AI bot. I said, analyze their responses based on BLUF and STAR. Give them feedback after each question. I have two bots. One is a coaching AI bot. The other is an assessment AI bot, which will give them no coaching along the way. They won't get an assessment until the end of their interview. Okay? You can go, so just answer one or two questions, put in real quick, and then you can just tell the chat, hey, I'm tired. I'm done practicing for today. Because I really want to show you this next part. This is what makes it awesome. So if you can finish your current answer, tell it you're tired for the day, and then end your interview, I'm going to show you this. Okay? So when I go here, so now I'm going to, this is what it looks like. If you want to create a new one, you go to create space. Okay, these are my creations. So I've got one where I have my students upload, it's getting hot. I have my students upload their U-Science results, and I have the AI bot assess their U-Science results and ask the students if they can defend their U-Science results. Okay, but this is the one we're doing right now. So as I'm here, I can, and there's so many cool things. I hope I get a chance to get up to all of them. I am going to go down here. So I'm going to open this up, and I'm going to see all of you. All right, so here's everybody who just did it, right? So I can go in, and I'm just going to pick BH, okay? And so I can see, so what it's going to do is if I click on BH here, it's going to give me a couple of, like, just a little bit of feedback on the side. But it's going to give me feedback pretty much for everybody, right? But if I don't see specifically what BH said, I can click on her right here, and I can go in and I can say view chat. And so I can see the AI asked her this, and she said, give me a general interview for biotech. So let's begin the first question, tell me about yourself. I scripted that to be the first one. And then you can go see, I can see all of her responses. She earned her PhD. I'm thinking, did I get that right? This is Betty, is that right? Okay. Anyway, so they get the feedback. Hey, that's a good structure now. Let's fill in the brackets with specifics. Think about what specific research or project did you focus on in your PhD? What skills did you develop? So it's not letting students just give a general blank answer. It's going to push them for the STAR and the BLUF method to come in and say, hey, okay, you have a PhD. What'd you learn? Now, obviously, she couldn't have time to do that, but it's going to prompt them after each question, and then it'll say, hey, do you want to try that answer again? That's the bot I built for coaching. Okay, then I can go in and they can say, yeah, let me try that again. So I'll show you just a real quick example of the one I did last night as I was preparing. I think I'm probably all the way at the bottom. Here it is. This is it. So Keith Nussey, there it is. All right, so just to show you, we're going to view the chat. Now, let's just say I had an emergency and I stopped. I can come back up here and click the rejoin link and send you that link, and you can pick up right where you left off. So if you have a scripted part of this, you can have a kid complete the entire interview. But for just right now, this is what it asked me. It said, hey, welcome, Jason, to your practice interview. It said, whatever. I said, hey, thanks for the opportunity. You can call me Jason. I don't have my resume handy, so please proceed without it. Let's do a general interview. First question, tell me about yourself. Here's a little bit about myself. Then it says, Jason, thanks for sharing. Here's some strength. You provided specific metrics, which strengthens your credibility, highlighting leadership and recognized partnerships. Here's some areas for improvement. Didn't say, Jason, you sucked here. Said, you can get better here. Said, to enhance clarity, try organizing your response using the STAR method. It says, would you like to try this again? Yes, let me try it again. Okay, go for it. Specifically, I would like to blah, blah, blah. Then he says, excellent job. Here's some strengths. Here's some areas for improvement. Tony May, is this right? Jason, you can be a bit more concise. Try streamlining your responses. That's 100% me, okay? But it's good that kids know, don't ramble on in an interview. Answer the question, give some specifics, wait for them to ask the next question. Then he says, hey, look, would you like to refine your answer? Nope, let's move to the next question. Great, here's the next question. What are some of your strengths and weaknesses? I answered it. Thanks for your response. Here's your strengths. You provided strong examples. Your strengths backed them up with specific achievements, which is impressive. Your ability to connect with data and student refinement, et cetera, et cetera. Areas for improvement. Would you like to refine your answer to include these, or would you like to move on? And I said, yes, I'd like to add some input about my weaknesses. So it said, Jason, ask you for your strengths and weaknesses. All you did was say how good you are. Don't forget to answer the question fully. You didn't say anything about your weaknesses. So then I got a chance to go back in and add my weaknesses, and then it came in here. And it said, great, get reflections. You effectively identified your strengths and weaknesses and linked them to your past successes, areas for improvement, weaknesses. As an extroverted brainstormer, I sometimes struggle to transition from ideas. So again, I was very long-winded in my response. I said, make your response more concise. The kids can do this over and over and over and over. As many times as they want, I can be at home sleeping and they're still getting taught by my curriculum, AI generated. So super, super cool ways to do this. And again, I mentioned this earlier for anybody who, if you came in late, why did I do this? Because I don't want to waste an ask, A-S-K, okay? I don't want to waste an ask on having employers come in to do mock interviews, because to me, the juice isn't worth the squeeze. I'm going to save that ask for a bigger thing. Come from our first career fair. I need you to come in and XYZ. To me, having all of my industry partners come in and do mock interviews is not worth the squeeze. I want to save it for a more impactful thing. So what's the next best thing? I can have AI do this, prepare them, and I still have all my industry bullets in the gun. I can still shoot those and say, I need you to come in and do this. And they're not going to say, well, Jason, I was just there 2 weeks ago doing mock interviews. And mock interviews take a long time. Okay? And it's all instructional time. These kids can do this anytime they want. So, all right, I'll pause for questions. If you want to connect with me, that QR code will put me in your phone. Is there another? Yeah. Oh, also, real quick, I will also put the audio for this on a podcast called 2152 Project. If you want the audio from this, you can get it there as well. But there is my specific contact information, and now I will pause for questions and drink some water. I got the cotton mouth. Yes?
On the last example, you kept saying, I created this. Was it really you or was it
that? No, it was me. So, all right, pause your scanning. I'll show you what it looks like. So when I come back to my launch pad, thank you for doing that, because I fully intended to show this to everybody. When I go to my creations, I am going to open up the mock interview. I'm just going to click edit. And so this is what it is. I just said here. All right, I'm going to make this really big, see if this works so you can read this. All right, so this is what I told it. And it's not short. It took me about 20 minutes to create it. Here's your roles and objectives, your learning goals. You're an AI entity that would conduct simulated learner interviews for CTE students in high school. You're to conduct mock interviews, asking them for general, specific, and behavioral questions. Provide feedback after each answer, offering refinement for their answers for clarity, structure, professionalism. Here's a scenario, and then I walk them through, ask them if they want to upload their resume. If they say no, move on. Ask them if they want a general interview or specific. If they say yes, no, you know, structure that interview any way you want. And then here's steps one, greet them warmly. What would you like for me to call you? Step two, gather any necessary information. Step three, ask the student if they would like to interview questions based on specific industry. So I broke this out from the general scenario and itemized this. Step four, all the way down. So I put things here. But here's the cool part. If it seems daunting, don't let it seem daunting, because here's what you can do. Oh, I just closed it. There's the audio. All right. So I'm not going to show you. What you can do is there is a repository for people like me who've gone in and created them and made them public. So you could go find my exact bot, open it, make a copy of it, change the script, do whatever you want to do. You can go get 10 scripts, combine them into one script, build your own AI bot. So the applications for this in WordPress learning, I really think, are the future. We have to acknowledge the weaknesses and the downsides to AI, but I think like this is my new thing. Yes, sir.
Can you explain the difference in here on Sidekick and Space?
Yes. So a Sidekick is gonna. I mean, they're similar, but a Sidekick is gonna be personalized to a student. So I would create this, and then it'll say with the students. I have the students create like save that as a link in their Chromebooks, and it will learn them over time. This is going to be just a general response that anybody can come into. If the student loses the link, I can resend it to them, but it's not going to learn that student. It's just going to follow my script. An assistant or a Sidekick is going to learn that student. So if at the end of the semester, the student is still, or midterm, a student is still struggling with something, it's going to say, hey, look, we covered this a couple of months ago. Let's go back and review what we did then. So it's going to continue. It's going to be this longitudinal perspective of a student's questions and experiences, whereas a space is going to be just more of a dynamic environment. It's a great question. Yes, sir.
Would you put Microsoft Copilot in the same category as ChatGPT and Gemini?
I would put Copilot more in the Perplexity. Now, I'm not a Microsoft fan, so I wouldn't really use it at all. But I mean, it's good technology. I have a personal thing against Microsoft. So that's probably shouldn't even have said that. But yeah, it's more from my experience, more geared toward Perplexity and research stuff versus the creative engine. Any other questions or thoughts? Yes, sir.
It's not a question, but I was just going to add to the group.
Absolutely, please.
I've found really valuable is Notebook LM. I don't know if you've used that yet, but that's where you can create the AI-generated podcast, but you can customize it too. So you could take that entire transcript, throw it in there, and say create a podcast, or focus it on the student to reflect for an interview coming up.
Absolutely. And that was what? What's it called?
They can listen to it. Notebook LM.
Is it notebook.lm?
If you just Google
Notebook. Google Notebook LM, there's another option there that we can use. And I think these tools are all going to work well together. Yes, sir. I haven't tried that, but in the description, I think it did say content generation and rubric generation, all that kind of stuff. So it should have the ability to do that. Especially if you design a Sidekick to do that for them. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And again, the kids don't get access to the back end of my school. They only get to use it. But you could have them go create their own AI bot. That could be another example. Go create your own that we can use for next semester. Students can use yours moving forward. It's a great question. Yes, sir. I would prefer to have them do it verbally, just because it's a lot different. Like, they're not gonna get as nervous speaking to an AI bot, but they need to get practice, because to answer your question, when I'm typing, I don't type but I say it frequently. And so I can go in and see the student script and say, you're saying too many times. I can program the AI bot to say, hey, and so and well, those are the most common speech impediment and fillers, work on this. So you can code it to actually work on that content as well. Great question. Any other thoughts or questions? All right. Thank you all very much. I appreciate it.